Welcome to the Fat Fuel Family Podcast, where every week Danny and Maura Vega discuss topics that help families live a healthy and active lifestyle with their little ones, including nutrition and training, peaceful parenting, education, and mindset. To stay up to date, make sure to hit subscribe on this podcast and check out the blog at www.fatfuel.family. You can also find them on Facebook and Instagram at dannyvega.ms, at fatfueledmom, and at fatfueledkids, and Fat Fuel Family on YouTube. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Fat Fuel Family Podcast. I'm your host, Danny Vega, and I'm joined by my lovely wife, Maura, who's making a face because it's pretty hard for you to get complimented, huh?
Yeah, if someone calls me anything, I'm just like immediately making an ugly face at them.
Yeah, you still do that.
I'm like, how about now?
Still do that after all this time.
I'm learning.
Yeah, so she's learning.
I don't know what's wrong with me.
So I'm super excited because I was able to connect with our guest at the NACA competition, this NACA bodybuilding show that he actually guest posed at. And we just really hit it off. And I was like, man, we got to have you on the podcast. His name's Michael Wilcoxon, and he's the owner and head trainer of the Keto Hulk Fitness. His fitness journey began at a young age, and it quickly became his first love. Mike earned a football scholarship to the University of Texas, where unfortunately his career was cut short due to injury. It was hard adjusting after being an athlete for so many years, but during this time period, he turned to his safe haven, which was the gym. And Michael has used the gym to build confidence, provide a positive outlet for life's daily struggles, and improve his health. He decided from that day forward that he would share his passion for fitness with the world. He's worked with strength athletes, bodybuilders, and just average gym goers. His goal at the end of the day is to make you the best version of yourself and help you achieve the body you deserve. Welcome to the show, the Keto Hulk, Michael Wilcoxon. What's up, brother?
Hey, I'm doing well. First off, I want to say thank you for having me. I think it's a great blessing, and I'm pleased to have finally met you. It seems like we had a few things in common, so thank you for having me on.
Yeah, I mean, we both played football, but you played real football. You got a scholarship to Texas. I mean, it's not like, yeah, it's a little difference between Columbia and Texas.
Okay. It's a good school.
But the one thing I'll say is it takes a lot of heart and soul and a lot of sacrifices to get where you're going, no matter what sport or what level you're at. So, hey.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, with college football, like, you know, there's levels to it, obviously, but like, it's crazy to show up to camp and it's like, you know, you come from being the best of the best, you know.
But
like,
when you decided to go to Columbia, you decided to go for New York and for Columbia, not for football.
Yeah. I mean, I still was like
that was the reason. That's how you got there. Yeah. And like, that's what brought you there.
Yeah.
But let's be honest here. New York.
Yeah. No, that when I saw that, like, you know? They invited me to an info session in the early in the recruiting process, and like it was at a hotel or something, and I saw that video about of New York, and I was like,
New York City.
Oh man, this
that's
is
how they get you guys. Yeah, that's how they get people for sure.
Yeah,
they're like, it's New York.
Well, it's awesome that you consider that, because you know everybody thinks they're going to go pro, right?
Oh yeah.
And so you know, whenever I first got to UT, I thought it was awesome that you know, our academic advisor came in. And one of the first things he led with, you know, he asked us about, you know, how many of you are going to go pro? And of course, everybody raises their hand, right? And he said, well, the truth and the reality of the situation is, even though you're at a premier university where you have a lot more opportunity to, you know, be seen, and a lot more of you are going to be drafted compared to a normal university. The truth is the average NFL career is 2.5 years. So out of this huge class of like 27, 28, maybe 3 or 4 of you are going to be drafted, but a lot of y'all will be out of the NFL in less than 2 years. So you need to go pro at something other than football.
Oh, that's really good.
Love it.
Yeah, and that's what they led with. So I thought that was awesome. So I could relate to that when you said you went to Columbia, not just for, you know, football, but also you went to Columbia for the education. I just think a lot of people, it's so important.
Oh, dude, it really is. I mean, I had one of my mentors in high school, a guy who I still love and still keep in touch with to this day. He was our basketball coach, and he's worked for the Heat organization for the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years. And he said, look, I'm not speaking to any of you in particular, but I will say, and all of you need to understand this and adjust accordingly, whether it means adjust your focus to a level that you need it to go or adjust your expectations, you have a better chance of getting hit by the Goodyear blimp than going to the pro leagues, you know, whether it be NBA, NFL, MLB, And I mean, that makes a ton of sense, obviously, not to discourage people or trying to shut down their dreams. But I mean, if you do want to commit to it, there's still a lot of things out of your control. You can get injured, you know, a bunch of things can happen. So, I mean, yeah, man, that's, but regardless, we still got to recognize you for that, man. Cause you know, Texas is Texas, you know, I mean, even strength and conditioning, I was at UF and I would say that like the school that I would put right next to UF, as far as how advanced and how well versed they are in strength and conditioning and nutrition, I would put Texas right next to UF.
Oh, hey, so Mad Dog was our strength coach at the time. Oh. And I still look up to him. He was a huge father figure on the team.
Oh, dude,
and,
yeah.
So blessed to have him. Like, amazing man. Actually, he reached out to me the other day. It was really nice to hear from him. So I hadn't seen him in a long time, but he's a great man. Like, I have so much respect for him, and he was a great coach.
100%, man. I had this a similar relationship with my strength coach, and that's what, you know, eventually led to me, you know, getting into strength and conditioning.
Yep, same here.
So, all right, let's start with our first leading question. We always lead off with.
Yes, we always lead off with the question, what is the most critical problem you are currently trying to solve?
You know, that's a... It's hard to say in just like one sentence, but
I know.
So honestly feel like one thing I'm called to do, because, you know, I personally went through this myself, is that a lot of people just go through the motions and they lose hope. They think they can't achieve their dreams. They feel like they can, they just, and a lot of people will just do what they're good at, even though they hate it. Yeah. And they take, you know, they just accept it, but yet people are just going through the motions and not really living life instead of pursuing what they really want, you know? And ever since I'll just tell you, like 2 years ago, I quit my 9-to-5. I did it cold turkey because that was the best move for me. I'm not telling people to do that. Mm-hmm. But once I started pursuing, you know, what I love back in the fitness arena, I always knew I wanted to get back here, but I was scared to take that leap, and I took the leap. And now I'm so happy I did. And I really want to not only lead by example and show people that they can do it, but I want people to really live life, not just exist and know that you know, it is possible to change, and I can't go back. And now I feel like my mission is to share this with the world, and I want them to feel the same way I do each and every day I wake up, you know?
Dude, I understand you so much. Like I'm so on the same page, man. It's same thing with me. Like I don't try to tell everybody to quit their job.
No, I'm not saying that at all.
Yeah. No, I know we're both saying that, you know, but a lot of the time it's probably going to be to quit your job, because, you know, a lot of people are just, you know, they got a job, you know, they're just getting to work. It may be a career, but it's not the career that they want. It's not what they want to do. When you were a little kid, you, like, if someone asks you, I don't think, you know, being like a process server or, you know, like, you know, a software engineer or
maybe,
but I'm just saying, like, I don't want to disparage. I'm just thinking of random, you know, occupations.
It definitely depends on what kind of lifestyle you want, because it's hard. Like as homeschoolers also, like it's like we do want to model that entrepreneurial lifestyle. And even though we definitely prefer that, I still explain to the children, you're like, well, there's like risk and reward. Yeah,
like explain and, like the thing, because Desmond's artistic. So what do we tell him about, you know, being an artist or being a musician? Like, what do we say to like kind of help him adjust his, what we tell him is like, if you have to understand that there's a certain lifestyle attached to different approaches, different occupations, different passions, and it's totally okay to follow that passion, but you also gotta be okay with the fact that maybe that passion won't be as lucrative as another thing, you know, because everybody says follow your passion, but a lot of the time, you know, you can't just say, well, I'm going to follow my passion. You know, my passion is to do nothing.
I'm passionate about reading.
You also have to be aware of the consequences, and you got to be okay with that, but be okay with it, you know, because you may find someone who's on that same page as you, and you can exist together and you can have a pretty awesome life together. It may not be like a mansion life, but that's not what we're pursuing. That's not what we're after.
Exactly. Well, you know, for me, I never had a coach before, and I through a friend, I hired an online coach, and he really helped me. But, you know, I know a lot from working with, you know, Mad Dog and working with some other people, even before I was really confident in myself. I realized, I was like, well, they can do this. Why can't I do this? You know? And yeah. So I didn't know how I was going to get there, but I took the leap, but I knew where I, what direction I at least wanted to go before I decided to do that. And I think that's the thing. You don't have to have all the answers, but have somewhat of a plan or something you can look towards and saying, you know, how close am I getting to my goal? You know, and then that way you have a benchmark instead of just blindly just quitting your job. And yes.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that Robert told me before I even quit my job, Robert was like, he was like, look, man, you know, you're never going to get where you want to get if you just keep this as your hobby. You know, like you can't have both. You can't have it both ways. You can't be like, you know, making that six figure income at your cushy job and then pursuing this. And he's like, when you do decide to quit your job, you will be surprised at how quickly the ideas, the collaborations, the opportunities, they just present themselves because you are, it's the only thing that you're working on. It's like, it's live or die. It's no plan B. And I kind of love that.
Yeah,
exactly. And also you have an opportunity, just like what you touched on, to meet with other like-minded individuals like you, like I met you. If I had a 9-to-5, I probably wouldn't have gone to Dallas, even though it's 3 hours away from me. And I probably wouldn't have met you, you know.
Great point. It's
so true.
Yeah, exactly. And one thing I'll say, I think a lot of people kind of become a slave to their objects and what they have. And they live this lifestyle. They get to this point and they don't want to go backwards, but yet they're not willing to give up some of the comforts. But yeah, that's not giving you happiness. Now you're a slave to your expensive car that you're paying $800 a month for.
Right.
Oh, good point, man.
It costs too much. And you know what I'll tell you? And one thing I share with some people is that I had to make a lot of sacrifices and give up a lot and live a very minimal lifestyle. But I can tell you that I was never so happy and I never grew that fast in my entire life is when I took that leap and I took a step back and just lived. Just I had everything I needed and gave up a lot of things I want or things I don't need. And that is so freeing and powerful, you know,
yeah,
and a lot of people never experienced that. But I'll say that it was, even though I'm not going to say every day was easy or there weren't stressful times where I'm like, what am I doing? There are days where I woke up and I'm like, did I make a mistake? And I had to remind myself like, no, let's look at long-term. This is temporary. You're growing. One thing that helped me so much and what really accelerated, you know, my growth and was definitely being able to choose who I spend my time with, what I listen to, what I put in my brain. You know, we all hear, you know, the 5 people you surround yourself with is your net worth, like what becomes normal to you because your scope is your reality, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That really helped me remove some negativity out of my life. And actually, for a while, I'll just tell you straight up, I had to do Uber and Lyft while I was figuring out how I was going to, you know, structure my business, all those other things that I'm not quite as good at, right? I'm good at working with people. I'm good at all these things. But when you own a business, you figure out what you're good and not good at very quickly.
Dude, yes. So true.
Yes. So I listen to tons of, speaking of podcasts, I listen to a ton of podcasts. I would listen to a lot of YouTube videos with a lot of speakers. There were times where I'd just be driving and I would kind of start tearing up and I'm not afraid to admit it. I would cry sometimes and I'm like, right now, but I realized it's maybe I would hear a bunch of speakers, you know, a lot of people would be like, oh, that doesn't mean anything to me. Maybe you'll listen to it every single day, but then one person strikes a chord with a similar situation as you and they were in a tough spot. And then you see them come out the other side. It's a reminder that a lot of these successful people or people who have done huge things, big things in life that we strive to achieve have all come from similar backgrounds or they all started somewhere.
Yeah,
so,
man.
So being able to just really control what I put in my mind and then also body, you know, it makes it easier when you dictate what you eat. It made a huge difference in growth. And I'll say during that, during the building, you know, aspect and during the time where I cut back and just had whatever I needed, it really reminded me of what's important in life, learning to be grateful or live in gratitude when you don't have a lot yet, but also forming the ability to have optimism even when you don't see anything happening in your favor in life yet, but you know it's coming. You know, now you're at least heading in the right direction and that light at the end of the tunnel starts to get brighter and brighter. And sometimes it happens slower than you think, but learning to knowing that if you keep on putting one step in front of the other and knowing that you're going to eventually achieve your goal, if you keep on doing the right things over and over, even when you don't feel like it, is extremely empowering. And then it pours over to other aspects of your life. And that's just what I want to encourage other people to. I just want people to experience that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just can't go back is what I'm saying. And I want people to feel that and actually live life. And when you ask someone, how are you doing, to be real, you know, like, I think a lot of people we see just on social media, a lot of it's fake. And I always want to be authentic and be real. You know, I just think it's so important. People are looking for things that are tangible, things that are encouraging and empowering, not just breaking you down or pointing out other people's flaws or mistakes because they're not happy with themselves, you know?
And not just fakeness either, because there's so much fakeness. I mean, and the fakeness now, because of technology, is like really high quality, like, you know, manufactured BS, you know, like this Game Changers movie. I just think of that because it's like, I always say it's a well-polished turd. Like, you got James Cameron production quality, like, you know, making all this BS really beautiful. And it's what we see. Yeah. We see it all on social media.
Remember the Big Mac challenge?
Oh, yeah. And I would have much rather liked that they just said, look, this can be used as a tool with certain people with certain ailments. I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger had a heart attack, so maybe for him it helped. But then again, we've seen the carnivore diet be beneficial for a lot of people with, you know, anti-inflammatory benefits. I know you know a ton about that. We both do. But there's more than one way to be successful, and it's just what way works best for you. Exactly. So
yeah. Well, I love about the carnivore and vegan thing. I think my friend Ben, you know, I don't completely agree with what he said, but I really respect the hell out of him, and I think there's something to what he said. And he said, look, because he was asked about Game Changers, and he was asked about what he thinks, and he's like, look, there's probably 10% of the population that will do very well on a vegan diet, and genetically, there's probably 10% of the population that would do very well on a carnivore diet. Like, now I would, of course, agree. I would argue that it's probably a higher percentage that can do very well on a carnivore diet, but that other 80% is going to be doing a little bit of both. And, you know, instead of trying to ram a certain way of doing this down people's throat, you got to present every option and let people experiment. But I want to go back to what you said, because you said something so awesome, and it reminded me of Seneca. Like, Seneca, you know, one of the ancient Stoics, he always advocated that one day a month, and or I think it's one week a month, he would live like in poverty. He was rich. He was loaded, dude. But that week he would fast. He would, you know, eat nothing but bread. You know, he would dress like a poor person. He would live on the streets. And that is in this comfortable life that we live, where, like you said, we're slaves to our car payment. We're slaves to these comforts. You know, we're never going to experience the growth and the gratitude that you get when there's nothing going on. And just like you, man, I'm making like a third of what I used to make, easily a third. Yeah. And, you know, I'm so much happier. And I had a good job too. Like, I had freedom, but I'm actually just every day making a much bigger impact locally and globally, that I just am much more fulfilled.
Yeah. And there's no ceiling for you, right? The possibility.
Yeah. Yep.
And just like what we'll talk about a little bit later, when opportunities come, you can actually go after them and take them, and you get to make the choice instead of asking for permission from someone else.
Yep.
How much you make or your future.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Well, I really want to get back to this stuff, all this stuff, but I have a few questions that I want to get into, like, you know, on, you know, nutrition and, you know, some of this other stuff that we love so much. But like you, and one of the questions, you'll hear us, like, I'm talking about the fact that, like, there are times when we get kind of burnt out on talking about nutrition and fitness. So it's awesome when we have someone like you, or we could do both. But I want to spend just a little bit of time on this stuff. So the first question I want to ask is, you know, you're a high level athlete, and as such, I'm sure nutrition has always been an area of focus for you. But I'd love to know, like, how your approach has evolved, what led you switching to the ketogenic way of eating, and how do you tailor your approach to help you reach, like, specific goals within keto, you know, or getting out of keto when you have to, you know. I'm just kind of curious to that whole kind of evolution for you.
Yeah. So, how about we break it up a little bit? So, I'm kind of long-winded sometimes. So I'm not gonna lie.
I'm long-winded too. Don't worry.
Because I like to know why and all the little details behind it. So I'll first talk about kind of how I got into ketosis, not scientifically, but you know what I'm saying. So, so first and foremost, when I used to experience like a lot of anxiety and, you know, some depression, especially when I used to work at Office Depot in the corporate office as a account manager, and I did very well. I ended up being a top person in the company. I wanted to trip Costa Rica and everything like that. But when I started, I used to stutter really bad, and it started when I was a senior in high school, and I could barely talk. I mean, even my family would call in, but And now if I start thinking about it, I might start stuttering a little bit. But
oh, it's crazy how powerful that is.
Yeah, right? That's so crazy.
Yes. And that's also something like, I know if I can get over that, most people can get over a lot of things. I'm just saying, because it was terrifying for me. And luckily I had an awesome manager that took me aside and said, don't worry, we're going to work on this. I needed one person to believe.
Yeah.
So anyway, when I would call, my heart would be pounding. You know, a lot of people, when they get into sales, a lot of it has to do with, you know, we don't like to be rejected as human beings, right? And first off, there's a valuable lesson in there, but I mean, I would be shaking. And one of my friends started taking, you know, exogenous ketones. And so I started taking them and I was like, wow, I feel good. I feel really clean. You know, there's a secondary side effect when you first start. And then secondly, I just felt good. I could focus really well. I felt really calm. I just felt great. And I was like, you know, these are getting kind of expensive. Why don't I switch over to the diet? Anyway, I ended up being a top person in the company, winning a trip. And at the same time, someone reached out to me and asked me to be a treatment coordinator at a men's health facility, which I've always kind of been a nerd. I would get to read lab work. I got free lab work done every 6 weeks. So about the same time when I started the keto diet, I was able to see how my blood work changed every 6 weeks, which is cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So anyway, so I started and all my lab work really looked really good. But every 6 weeks, you know, I was feeling better. I didn't take exogenous ketones anymore. My baseline of energy was higher. A lot of the things that you know, talk about, I would sleep a lot better. Just my quality of life was great. I was a little bit flatter because I didn't understand how much extra salt I needed before I worked out. All those little
details. Same here, yeah.
Yeah, but I just felt really good. And my HDL went up 39 points within a month or two. My LDL went down. My triglycerides went down. And I ran, you know, medical weight loss, ED, and then the testosterone department there. The provider would say what they need, and then I would talk to them about it, talk about risk, things like that. So anyway, it was really cool seeing that develop, seeing my body composition change. Because I got kind of chunky, you know, at the office job, and then I started leaning out a little bit.
Tell me this: how big did you get? Because you were a lineman in college, so did you lose a bunch of weight and then gain some back?
Yeah. So when I was in college, I went from 305, and then when I stopped playing immediately, I went 305 to like 235. And my friend was big, so I was really skinny.
That's crazy. Like whenever I see my old teammates, the linemen are always super skinny, you know, and it's just really weird to see.
Hey, within 2 months, I saw one of the guys you play with. He went from 305 to 200, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I know exactly what you're talking about. But and after that, I was like, wow, I'm too skinny. And my mom was, you know, your mom wants to see you, you know, not super skinny. So she's like, Michael, are you okay? And I was like, yes, don't worry. And then I built back up into muscle where I'm at now over the past few years, you know.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, that evolved and on and off. Like, I like to try new different kind of meal plans, ways of eating, because I don't think you have to subscribe to one way of eating forever. And I think the best diet's the one you're going to adhere to. So there's certain times and based on your goals that maybe you should either change it up or make modifications, see what works for you and your body, right?
100%.
So, and the more experience I have with different kind of diets and meal plans and different kind of foods, the more I can help my future clients and my existing clients with their goals. So yeah. I'm really big on experimenting. I'm a nerd. I'm really into science. So like, I like to see like how lab work changes. I like to see, wow, I'm getting stronger or I have more energy with this, the pros and cons to everything, because I don't think not everything's just pro, not everything's just con, right? There's always a place, happy medium in between.
Yeah. Hey everybody, I want to take a few moments to share a success story from my good friend, Gary Mullins, on his experience with Superstarch and some of the unique ways he's used it to not only power through intense lifting workouts, but even as a tool during his prep for bodybuilding shows. What's up, Gary?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. Why don't you first tell our audience how long you've been following a ketogenic diet and talk a little bit about your physique progress over the last several years?
Well, I've been following a ketogenic diet for about the past 4 years now. Basically, I started just to overcome a bunch of injuries with my lower back, chronic pain, that sort of thing. And I just had to get stronger in order to avoid surgery. So once I did that and accomplished that goal, I decided to just keep going and try to build a physique since I saw the progress I was making.
Man, that is so awesome. And like, I want to know, because you've had not only like an amazing transformation, but it's been like the body composition changes have been ridiculous. So I'm curious about this. Because I have a feeling that your weight probably didn't even change that much. I mean, you probably lost weight and then put some weight on. But how much did you weigh? Let's look at maybe back in 2017. How much do you weigh now? And like, what was your body composition changes?
In 2017, I weighed, actually, I was at my lowest. I got down to about 155. I started out at about 235. And over the course of about 8 months, I dropped about 70 pounds.
Wow.
Steadily got a little more until I got like super, super lean. And then, just started building from there. And I currently weigh, about 185. So, and, easily as lean as I was back when I was 155. So I've added, you know, about 30 pounds of muscle.
Yeah, man. I just love the fact that you've taken all these pictures because it's just mind blowing to see your progress. And it's really, really helpful in showing, you know, the fact that you can build muscle on a ketogenic diet. It does take time. It does take patience and a commitment to the process. And you've definitely done that. Why don't we start talking about before you started using superstarch, did you use any carbs pre-workout or during peak week for your bodybuilding shows? And if so, like what were the sources?
Well, when I first started keto, I was super strict for like the first year, like literally no cheats for a year solid to get just completely fat adapted. And then as I started to build more, I tried targeted keto for a little while and it just didn't feel that good. So then I switched to cyclical keto. And that's where I've built a lot of mine. My muscle is by doing cycle.
Okay.
So, you know, carb loading on Friday a little bit, but trying to keep it to low glycemic carbs. And then in preparation for the NACA event that I saw you at, I basically went carnivore with the addition of Yucan.
Great. That's me, man. I love that. That's perfect.
Yeah, it's crazy. As the calories kept dropping, you know, I got down to, you know, 1700, 1500, 1400 calories, and I was still hitting PRs consistently as long as I was taking the Yucan. When I stopped the Yucan about 10 days out from NACA, I you know, because I was just wanting to get just totally depleted, the PRs completely stopped. I mean, it felt like I hit a wall. It was completely night and day between taking it and not taking it.
That's interesting, man, because I feel the same way. And I hear sometimes people say, well, I tried using superstarch and I didn't really feel anything. And to me, that just tells me that the training is not as intense as it is for you or for me. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I mean, if you're not training hard enough to necessitate, you know, that extra kick from the Yucan, then you probably don't need Yucan. So you started taking it, I'm assuming, like in summer time, right? Like June, July, August timeframe?
Yeah, I actually started taking it about a month or a month and a half before the experiment that I did with you.
Okay, awesome. And for anybody who's interested in the experiment, that is on my Instagram, and you can see not only what me and Gary and everybody else who did it, we had really stable blood sugar. But we also sent our information to one of our heroes, Dr. Jeff Volek, who wrote a hypothesis paper on Yucan for fat-adapted athletes. And you guys can check that out as well. But one of the things you told me, Gary, was really interesting. And it's a unique way that you use superstarch before one of your shows. I believe it was the one after NACA. Why don't you share that with our audience? Because I think this is something that I would like to start using with physique prep clients. And I think anyone who's either working with clients or getting ready for a show and wants to stay keto, I think it'd be very helpful.
Oh yeah, actually it was with NACA that I did it, or I would have looked just even more depleted. after about 4 days out, I took an extra load of Yucan. I took like basically a double dose in the morning and then another double dose at night. And so, you know, it was a bunch of super low glycemic, and I was able to fill out a bit more. It was a gradual thing over the next day or two. And I, you know, took another couple doses the day after that. But yeah, it was, basically, you know, a way to kind of fill out, but without having to spike insulin or, you know, I was still testing ketones at that point for the competition, and I still was hitting what I needed to.
Yeah, man, that is so clutch. And I even like, I try to share with people, like, especially like people who are following a high carb diet, you know, for example, this has been around for a while. I actually spoke to my best friend, Ben Pokolsky, about it yesterday. And he mentioned that he was using superstarch in some of his shows back in 2013. And he was following, you know, a low carb diet, getting ready for a show. And he found that his blood sugar was unstable, and he started using UCAN before bed. And he found that it helped stabilize his blood sugar. He was waking up at 85 or so, and then he started taking the UCAN, and it dropped to, like, you know, high 60s. So this stuff is great. I stand behind it. It looks like you stand behind it too. If you guys want to check it out, use Carbs for Keto at checkout for a discount. And please send us your success story to hello@fatfuel.family if you want us to share them on the podcast. Other than that, man, I really appreciate you sharing it, man. Thank you for everything. And now back to our show.
All right. Well, just to take things further, I mean, you've been a standout thrower in track, a collegiate football player. You've competed in powerlifting and bodybuilding competitions. You can add, of course, anything we've missed here. But what does your nutrition and meal timing look like when you are bulking versus cutting? And how does that differ from your approach when you're focusing on strength?
Well, so first and foremost, I'll tell you, the past like 2.5 years, I've been trying to stay relatively lean. I haven't tried to bulk in 2015.
I know that feeling.
I don't ever, like, I feel like I'm always trying to bulk and always lean. Like, I feel like it's possible.
Yeah, but I know where you're coming from, where there's no need to bulk.
Because he's great.
And you know what? Getting bigger is fun, but you know how it is. You always see the people that tend to be a little bit smaller and not have as much muscle mass. They always want to be leaner. And then the big guy wants to be leaner, and the other guy wants to be like, I want to put on muscle, you know, and it's always kind of the grass is kind of greener, right?
Always. So, you and Danny are here, like, trying to, like, do everything possible to lose muscle, and it, like, probably doesn't happen.
So to answer your question, honestly, first off, I'll tell you, I'm very well adapted on keto now. So if I even do add in carbs or just come off my diet, I don't feel bad anymore. So I can be a lot more flexible. I feel like metabolically, I'm a lot more flexible than I used to be. But the last time I really tried to get big, I work with a lot of other coaches, so I gain more tools, right, for my clients. And this is when I was still doing sales back in 2014. I got up to 305. I was actually a lot bigger than I am now, and I was about over 13% body fat.
Wow.
And I was eating carbs, but, you know, a lot of recommendations with the diets, like, oh, eat 60% carbs, you get big and all that. I was eating like 100 to 150 carbs, and I was eating a lot more higher fat and then really high protein. And
that
worked really well for building, very well. And I felt pretty good. But the thing is, even with that lower level of carbs, my body would start hurting really bad. The inflammation.
Inflammation is what gets me. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the inflammation.
Yes. So when I try to lean out, I'll talk about this previous rep. So at the very beginning, I did work with the coach because, again, I wanted to learn some more tools. And he had me do a new way of carb cycling at first. But I was kind of nervous because I feel great on keto. I don't hurt. Like I said, I sleep really well. I'm pretty good at maintaining my muscle mass. I usually have to run protein slightly higher than maybe, you know, 20 to 25% of total calories. And that worked really, really well until I stopped. I stopped losing weight because I was doing a classic bodybuilding and open. And even though I was getting bigger and leaner at the same time, I had a weight class to meet. So I stopped dropping weight. And even at 2,600 calories, my body wants to put on muscle. So I was building muscle and losing weight and recomping. And my coach was like, what is going on? Like, you should be losing. But I was doing everything right. So we had to switch back keto for me to start losing weight. And it was fat, the remainder that I lost. But my body just responds extremely well to keto. I just feel way better, and I hold water like crazy when I eat carbs. I always
remember we talked about that, your crazy rebound.
And I was eating when I did the guest posing, my girlfriend bought me a cake. You know, she lives in, like, New York, so she was visiting, and I'm not going to say no. Right? So, I was holding a ton of water after going to keto and then, you know, going to my bodybuilding show. And then the next week was a guest posing. And I also think you kind of need a break sometimes. I mean, whatever works best for you. I just wanted to be a normal person for like a few weeks. And now that's kind of ending, because we'll talk about it in a second, but I need to cut down again. I have till February. So next week, I'm going to start, you know, being more on keto. I've kind of taken a break and been on relatively low carb, but like more paleo lately. And I'm about to go back to doing keto again. And plus, just doing this for 3 weeks, I already have really bad inflammation in my forearm because my strength is coming back, and I'm holding back still, but it's terrible in my left arm already, and I got to go back keto because I'm hurting too bad.
That's me, and it's crazy because I am just like you in the sense that I think the beauty is like back and forth between like a paleo and a keto or a paleo and a carnivore. Right.
Would you guys say like the type of carbs matter? Obviously, like,
they do,
I feel like it's compounding over time.
Yeah, over time, because I don't know if I told you, Micah, but like for me in those 3 months where I just did a weekly carb up.
But
it was white rice and sweet potatoes and acorn squash, everything organic, mm-hmm. everything good. But like over those weeks, like I never would get, like there was a tiny bit of inflammation, right? Like, so I would see that performance increase the day of the carb up and I would feel great. And then the next week, by the time it was time for my carb up, there was a tiny bit more inflammation. And then over a period of 12 weeks, then it got to the point where I'm like, I had to stop completely. And I haven't had, like, that ended at the end of the summer, and then I had two carb ups over like a period of 2 months, and then, you know, the last several weeks
to me, like one a month,
a month, or really more importantly one when you need it,
right?
You
know? Right,
yeah,
when I feel it.
So but even paleo, like you said, even paleo can add up to that inflammation. So so for you, are you gonna go into a prep? What is it that you're switching into next?
No, so and I think you saw my post the other day where I was trying to decide, because I qualify for nationals.
Yep.
But let's be real, if I want to try to go pro and get my pro card, which I've had a lot of IFBB pros say, you know, you can be pro. And even though I haven't tried to build and they didn't see me when I was a lot bigger, for my height, I have to be massive. So I have to take that into consideration. I mean, I need to be 320, 330 in the off season, you know, like I just do. And so I have to ask myself, is that something that I'm willing to do? I want to be around a long time. You know, I want to have a family. There's a lot of things that I really try to consider. And these are a lot of things that people overlook, or they just kind of brush aside when they're trying to make some of these decisions. But I think it's really important. So I'm not saying that I'm not going to do it ever, but right now, I don't want to talk about my decision too much right now. But what I'm saying is there's a lot of things that you have to take into consideration making these decisions. And the other thing is, I have the option to, I don't want to say too much about it because not everything's finalized, but there's a bunch of modeling photo shoots that I've lined up early in the year. And there's an opportunity for me to get into some acting and some other things that I've always kind of wanted to do. But as an athlete, I kind of had to put all my artistic side to a backseat. And now I have an opportunity to kind of express some of those things that I always wanted to work on and focus on.
So, I love it, man. I love it. So let's just get into, I won't even ask that other question, but I do want to get into the one more thing. So it's the peak week strategies, like things that worked for you during that prep and what didn't exactly work. And this would include like specific supplements. Like you mentioned the other day, this product that now it's like, I'm looking at it like, hey, what is this? Like glycerol, because glycerol's, you know, our friend Gary, you saw Gary at the NACA competition. He loves glycerol, you know, carbs, sodium, all the stuff that can be perplexing to a lot of people. Let's keep it simple. Let's just say maybe one or two things that really, really work that maybe people don't know about. And then one or two things that can really go wrong or went wrong for you.
Okay, so first off, two things that really, really helped me, and I already know that during your presentation at the NACA event, I heard you talk about this. One thing that worked really, really well, especially during keto, was obviously loading sodium pre-workout.
Oh, yeah.
Get your pumps back, especially, man, my last month, I was on 2,000 calories or less.
That's nuts at your size.
Yes, and that's because we're trying to meet weight for classic bodybuilding, because at my height, I had to be under 245, and I haven't been there in over 10 years. So my body is not going to do that.
Yeah.
And then secondly, adding in a green supplement while you're on keto, especially contest prep, I think a lot of people overlook that. And I felt like that really helped my digestive system out substantially without having to worry about, are there any trace carbs in here?
Right.
Is there anything that's going to make me hold water? Those two things work well for me. But one thing that I utilized multiple times during my prep was a fat mimic fast, where I would do four cups of coffee, or four of the meals were coffee. I'd use TT oil in all of them, and I always use coconut oil in two of them. And I would eat six macadamia nuts. And then another meal, the fifth meal, I would use bok choy soaked in butter. And so I'm getting like really low calories, and it's only fat, no protein the whole week. And I wouldn't lose any muscle, but my weight would drop really fast. And I would actually feel really good. If I try to do that with carbs, I would be dying.
Yeah. And how many days did you do that?
I would do it for 5 to 6 days at a time, and then I would go back transitioning into normal keto.
I love it.
The normal, you know, 20 to 25, you know, 5% carbs and then the rest fat.
Love it, man. Very cool. Yeah,
that worked really, really well. And that's something that I may use with some of my clients in the future that are a lot more serious. Not just someone, not like a stay-at-home mom that just wants to lose a little bit of weight. That's unnecessary.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. Get it, man. I get it.
All right. Well, let's get into a little bit more about like mindset stuff. What does a winning mindset look like in your opinion? And what are the daily habits that you employ to strengthen your resolve and forge that winning mindset?
Okay. So a winning mindset, honestly, to me, it's really not about being perfect, but it's about really striving to be your best self and where your heart and your mind are at. Where I think that's really important. Trying to be the best version of yourself each and every day, working on some of the flaws that you have. Maybe it's like one thing I have trouble with is going to sleep on time. I can really do something. I'll start nerding out, reading a ton of scientific articles. I'm like, it's 3 a.m. I got to go wake up, train a client in 2 hours. You know, but it's the main thing is I don't think you should beat yourself up, but learn from it and let those mistakes be fewer and farther between, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's the pursuit of, you know, being honest with yourself, seeing where you're at, and always trying to be the best version of yourself and move forward and working on that each and every day. Doing small things, it doesn't have to be a drastic overnight change, but as long as you're doing the right things over and over, that will lead you to your goal. And to me, that's what that's.
Dude, I love that. You know, the self-reflection.
And like remaining a student.
Always focusing on improving and learning. Really totally agree with, man.
Yeah. I mean, because I'm just saying from personal experience, man, I still have a ton of things I need to work on. But there are a lot of things that I do really well that I used to be terrible at. And I'm proud of those things. And then I recognize what I still need to work on. And I work on those on a daily basis. And I fall short sometimes. But I'm not going to stop until I get to where I want to go, right?
Yeah.
And then you're talking about daily habits. So a lot of this is in relation to mindset. There are 3 things I do. And I know I talked about this during the Q&A at the NACA event. But there's 3 things I do. Whether you believe in God or the universe, I personally read a chapter of the Bible each and every day. Mm-hmm. And I think I do that in the morning at night. I like to start my morning that way and at night.
Yeah.
And then I read a chapter of a good book each and every day, something that's going to help empower me, maybe give me new thoughts, new aspirations to go toward. And then I listen to, I usually go to YouTube and I type in motivational speakers and I find videos and I listen to them. And then those are 3 things I do on a daily basis. And then I try to list a few things that I'm grateful for. And really, those are the main things I do on a daily basis that have really helped me shape who I am today and who are helping. And it's also helping me progress to who I want to be in the future.
Dude, I love that. And I think it's a great segue into this next question because we kind of glossed over this, but we spoke about, you know, kind of when we first connected. And, you know, I think when the bromance was like official was when we got into these conversations about pursuing the things you're most passionate about. Yeah. You know, like both of us have gone for it. You know, that road is never a straight one. And I know you're big on this. So I wanted to give you a chance to explain, you know, obviously, we know kind of why they should go for it. We went into that. But what about the more difficult question about, you know, how do they go about going for it? You know, because you mentioned that you did the, you know, the cold turkey thing. I basically took a little bit over a year where I was saving money and everything. But, you know, what are some of the things that people should know looking back, like maybe things you wanted to know going into that decision, like things that they can do to manage their expectations, you know, whatever you think is applicable?
First off, I want to say that everyone's path is different. What's right for me can be completely wrong for someone else.
Good point.
Secondly, I don't have kids. So someone who may have kids, that path may look a lot different. But one thing that I'll tell you that really helped me is even when I knew that I wanted to get back in the fitness industry in 2015, it took me a few years to really accept that I was really tired of working for other people and always being promised one thing and I would deliver and it wouldn't happen. And I was like, you know what? I want to kind of take control of my destiny. So that path, again, would be different than someone else's. Sorry, I'm kind of losing my track thought here.
No, you're good, man.
But anyway, look, when it comes down to it, every path's different. And one thing that helped me substantially was I would find the good in each and every opportunity that I had. And I would say, look, Michael, this is a stepping stone. Like, say, for instance, the job where I had to talk on the phone, I was account manager. I would say, look, you need to be good. I knew I needed to be good on the phone if I was going to own my own business. There's going to be business calls. I don't need to focus on not stuttering. I need to focus on being the best version of myself and being able to have an agenda, being able to, you know, really connect with someone else, right? Mm-hmm. So in that particular situation, I'm like, okay, you're getting good at selling yourself. You're getting better at communication and speech. Every single job that I had, then I was a tree coordinator after that. When I was there, I was like, okay, I'm good at connecting with people. I'm perfecting this skill. This is very important. This is something I love. But no matter where you're at, don't think you have to quit your 9-to-5. Just know that wherever you're at, make the best of it and take those tools from that job or that opportunity. And it may not be what you're wanting to do then, but use it as a stepping stone to move forward. And I think it's extremely important. And honestly, that's the only way I can get through some of those. There are days where I wanted to stay home, days where the stuttering was really bad and I just wanted to quit and didn't, only because I reminded myself, why am I here? And the reason was because I needed to be good at talking on the phone and communicating, something that I used to be really good at. And the stuttering hit me out of nowhere. And something I was good at, almost disappeared. So I think really just look at the best in any situation, make the best out of what you have right now, and then focus on write down some skills that you'll need in the future, and then try to maximize those skills, that skill set in what you're doing right now. And then that way, when you show up to that job that you hate or that you're tired of, you're there for a reason. It's not, you're not just there just to collect paycheck. You're actually heading towards your goal still, even though it's not in the exact way you want it to be.
I love that. And you kind of had a few different things there. Like, I mean, there's a lot of things, but you mentioned obviously recognizing what you're good at, recognizing what you need to work on, but with a sense of gratitude and not just like, I'm not good enough, but you have to identify those areas. And then, making the best of your current situation. Those are all things that, like, if I would have been conscious of them in those times where I was like, I just want to quit my job already. Like, it's not happening fast enough. Like, it would have been nice to know that so that, I could have managed my expectations better.
Yeah, exactly. But all of this came through all this mindset development. This is not just coming directly from me. This is from me reading books and actively pursuing this.
Yeah.
So I'll give you an example. When I was an account manager, I was like, okay, what can I enjoy on a daily basis here that I wouldn't be able to do at other jobs? Okay, I can listen to music or headphones. So I would put a headphone in, and actually I would either listen to a podcast or a book. And then right when they would answer the call, I'd pause it and I would say, hello, this is Michael Wilcox, and your account manager, blah, blah, blah. And then I would do that. And then in between calls, I would still be progressing and learning. And so that's how I came to be who I am today, by actively working on these each and every day. And even if you don't feel like it's doing anything, I promise you, it will over time.
I'm really, really glad that you said that, because I talk about this all the time. Like, people ask me all the time how I stay motivated and all this garbage. And I tell them that that doesn't exist. No. The only thing that exists is consistency over time. Yep. And that those, I love that you mentioned motivational videos, because that's how I am with like my, like I'll do that with like preachings or sermons. Like it just, it just gets me in a good space. But that sermon that I heard yesterday isn't, even this morning, it's not going to help me tonight. So it's like, you have to consistently be seeking these things and making these habits for yourself, to go to when you, and that those are the things that are, even with working out, I felt like I was working out every day for 3 years before I saw a muscle. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And that's how it is. People don't, they need to, this is like the most important thing that they need to understand. There's no quick fix. There's no nothing. It's all about whether it's working out, whether it's your mindset, whether it's anything. If you're not doing something proactive daily, it's just not going to happen. So I'm just so glad you mentioned that, because people see, they just see, you, what you look like on your Instagram. They don't see all these little things that you're doing every single day, no matter what. And so I like that you're, I like to always shed light on that.
Well, thank you for that. And one thing I'll say is, just like fitness, I'm sure you tell your clients this all the time. And one thing during your presentation that you talked about was fitness. We're not looking for a quick fix or get on this diet and then lose this much weight and then gain it all back. We're talking about changes in lifestyle.
Yeah.
And everything that I'm talking about, mindset, this is working on a daily basis, like you said,
right.
Changing your lifestyle, how you live life, becoming a stronger, more powerful person. And also, I have to say this. Whenever you go through trials and tribulations, a lot of time it's getting you ready for something in the future that you can't see yet, or a situation where maybe you can be really strong for your family.
Right.
So instead of feeling bad for yourself that you have all these problems or issues or whatever it is, be thankful that, this is making me stronger for the future, and I will be able to handle more, and I wouldn't have this in my life if I could handle it.
Yep.
And, I love that.
Yeah. And that's just something that I've had to change my mindset. I mean, there's certain days where I feel like that too. We all do. But just like you said, we're not motivated each and every day. But when you do the same, the right thing, over and over, now it's habit, and you're not even thinking about it anymore. You just do it because you know you have to.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So I have a question for you here that Danny threw in here. I'm like, okay.
Okay. So what's the greatest? I mean, like the best.
Like, oh, like the best. Okay. Well, that's actually, it's, this is like the, I love when this happens, like perfect segue.
Yeah.
And it's kind of goes with what you were just talking about. So what is the greatest, and by greatest, we mean the best mistake you've ever made?
That's tough because how do you define mistake?
I know it's so hard.
Yeah, like for me, I'm thinking like something that you, that looks like.
Like for example, like we tell our kids, like when they fail, you know, winners don't lose, they learn. Failure is not a bad thing.
First off, I'll talk about two different things.
That's fine.
So a lot of us, and I think a lot of people can relate to this. First off, failed relationships, especially with dating. Mm-hmm. Because, and then secondly, football. I'll go ahead and talk about football first. You know, I ended up getting a concussion in football. Football was always something I was really good at, but I never loved it. And honestly, when it kind of happened, it was almost a relief. And I would have never quit and tried to let my team down. But I had a really bad concussion. And the doctors were like, look, this could affect you long term. And I decided to step away. And plus, I was losing kind of my heart for the game. But I'll tell you, making that decision, not everyone completely understood. Some people kind of shun me. People don't know how to react. They don't know what's in your head, how you feel. They don't see the depression that you experience on a daily basis, or you used to. They don't see all those things. They only see from the outside. They see you lifting way more weight than everybody. They see you power cleaning 400 pounds. They see you probably running a high 4.5, low 4.6 at your peak. They just see you doing all this stuff that's like, wow, why is he playing anymore? But I guess mine would be football. And you know what? Going through all that kind of, and you probably went through this as an athlete too, when you're so good at something. And I hadn't even started at UT yet. I was just starting my career. I wasn't really confident. So like, I never got to that point. But one thing I'll say is that honestly, giving up football was probably one of the hardest things I've ever done, but one of the best things I've ever done, because a lot of people judged me. A lot of people thought I was wasting my talent. But you know what? That caused me to grow. And it also took me to a really dark place for a while, because it took me a long time to, because I had no idea what I was going to do. I was just
because it becomes your identity. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And plus, it bothered me that everybody just saw me as a football player, and all they wanted to ask me about football. But I'm like, I'm intelligent. Like, I'm good at a lot of other things besides football, and y'all don't even know it. It bothered me. I'll be honest, it did. But honestly, for like years, I struggled and I felt like a failure. But what I realized from that is I failed at something. It doesn't mean you are a failure. It's not a noun. It means I failed at something and I learned from it. And I learned that just because you're really good at something doesn't mean that's what your calling is. Doesn't mean that's what you're supposed to do. But going through all that, now I have an opportunity to help people who have felt like I did, and maybe inspire them to get out of that hole when, you know, that light's getting smaller and smaller and you feel like you're stuck in life, but you can get out of it. And you may need just one person to give you a little gentle nudge or share their story. And you're like, wow, I can do that. That person was just where I was today. And
exactly.
Then, because just like y'all said earlier, people see how either successful you are or how good of shape you are or whatever it is, whatever their definition of success is, but they don't see your story and what it took to get there. But I'm glad that I experienced that. Now I can share my story and maybe inspire others to, like I said earlier, live life and know that they don't have to accept where they're at right now as a season. It's temporary and it's going to get better. And now they have an opportunity to help others well.
Yeah. And that's always like the stories is usually what gets people to, it motivates them. It's never someone like talking at you. It's always someone like listening to, ooh, like you said, this person's going through what I, or this person went through and conquered what I'm currently going through. And that's
essentially is that exactly. I see it so much, so many. And you know what? When I stopped on the team and I was just helping out, you know how many guys came up to me and said, man, I'm thinking about not playing. I just don't know if I can do this. I have a son on the way, or I have this. And a lot of people confided in me, and I just told them, I was like, look, don't think this is going to be easy. Some people are going to judge you. You know what? The staff and everything was great. I'm not saying anything like that, but there's just a lot of things. When you make a decision, you really get to find out who's in your corner and who's not, who really cares about you, and then who doesn't. And you find out a lot really fast, and you have to grow up really fast. And sometimes these decisions that seem at the beginning, just like if you quit your 9-to-5 or you leave your current situation for a better one long term, don't think it's going to get easy at the very beginning. It may take 4 or 5 years for it to get better, but long term, it's going to be worth it. But temporarily, it might be hell. It's going to suck.
Yeah.
I'll just be honest. It is. You know, who knows? Everybody's story is different.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Such a good point. Well, man, I can't thank you enough, man. There's a lot of good stuff. And I love that this went more in the direction that we thought we were going to cover, like this, all this other stuff a little bit, but it ended up taking most of the podcast, which I absolutely love because, you know, we get burnt out on the nutrition and mindset or nutrition and fitness stuff. We love this mindset stuff. We love this other stuff. So grateful for everything you've shared, man. But where can people find you and how can they find out more about you and what you're currently up to?
So I guess the main platform I post on and communicate through is definitely Instagram. So my name's at the Keto, K-E-T-O, Holk, H-U-L-K. I guess the way I pronounce it, a lot of people don't know when I say the, they don't know what I'm saying. Anyway, yeah, so you can find me at the Keto Holk on Instagram. If any of y'all have questions, feel free to ask. I love sharing. I love what I do. And then I have theketoholk.com. That's also my website as well. So those
that's
are
a
the
great URL.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Good one.
Keep it simple.
I love it.
I love it, dude. Awesome. Thank you so much, man. We really appreciate you coming on. It was a great conversation.
Hey, thank y'all. Thank y'all. And anytime y'all need someone else for a podcast, let me know. I'll be more than happy to come back on.
100%, man. 100%.
Yeah, it's just something like I looked at my life and I looked at my wife like I did something right. Look, I'm not switching my price. Baby, I know what I'm worth. I be like, they got it Monday. I get to get back to work. Hey, shine like gold. They don't want story, man. They want the sound bite. I'm like, no. Look around like they see you on the mountain. They don't see you on the climb. Right, me and all of mine in the power line. Look at this and what you find. Right, shimmer, lights, flicker, all this light, let it shimmer. I had a glow up, I had a show up. I got the light now, check out my glow up. Right, shimmer, lights, flicker, all this light, let it shimmer. I had a glow up, I had a show up. I got the light now. Check out my glow up.
Striped up and they wiped up. Huh? Yeah. Most of these folk hyped up. Huh? Yeah. I'm in the bag for show. I got a stack of a bag to throw. Hop in the bag for show. Reach it back in the stacks. Lights, flippin'. Gotta make sure that they with you. Better go look at the pictures. Better go look at prescriptions. I'm in the field. When I get down, I'm taking a kneel. Yeah. I'm in the field like fire drills. I don't love in the thrill. Yeah.
Right. Shimmer. I had a glow up, I had a show up. I got the light now, check out my glow up.
Light bright like it's Friday night. Might kneel like I'm capping it. Line of sight like a sight of mine. Real fake with no asterisk. Light bare like the Mercedes. Messenger since the first day. In a white tux cause I stand out. All alone like first place. I got buzz like ether. Throwback hits like Deepers. Keep up, I might leave you. Team way up like Kiba. They taking shots like they had to buy. Shine like a rocket, we blasting off. That's just the aftershock. Back out the grave like I'm Lazarus.
Back out the grave like a king. I had to show him the ink. You couldn't mess up the team. All of my homies, they gleam. Take a photo. All my homies never solo. I've been leaning like a cholo. Lighting seasoning, I double.
Right. Shimmer. Lights. Flicker. All this.
Light.
Let it shimmer. I had a glow up. I had a show up. I got the light now. Check out my glow up.
They can't stop that light, man. It's way too bright. 116 for life, for my squad I ride. Jesus by my side, got nothing to hide. We still on the shame, we still about that life.
New morning mercy, I swim in that. Light of the world, yeah, I give them that. I give up my life and I get it back. The whole squad here, but you figure that. My partners was pushing the lean, yeah. So I was pushing the king, yeah. They sipping act, so I had to act. I'm shining my light on the scene, yeah.
Right, shimmer, lights, flicker, artists, light, let it. Shimmer. I had a glow up, I had a show up, I got the light now, check out my glow.
Sad, it's that flicker
sad. Yeah. Toast, we live in ellipsis, cause we the Vickers spread. Quick or sad, I came to bang. We came awake, still darkness, target still aim away. Bang, bang. This on my night hit radio, but we radiate. That beam will run out of steam till we stand face to face. So go shine, little homie. Go shine, young lady. Go shine, little homie. Go shine,